We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I get called to fill in tonight for the franchise Tim Allen, and I get spoiled because it just happens to be the same night that Adam McAlvey joins the Bayview Shed and Blind postgame show. Unfortunately, I come in so they lose, but what are you going to do? 4-3, Indians over the Brewers. I guess there's all kinds of storylines in this game, and the first of which is going to be Josh Hader finally giving up a hit, and it comes in his first loss of the season, Adam. In the bottom of the ninth as the Indians walk off on him.
Well, there was a high probability, or at least a better than zero, you know, a decent probability that that's the way it was going to go because that's his role. And if he's coming in a tight game, you know, every hit is going to be big. So it was a pitch up. I mean, he lives up there with the fastball, so I don't know that it was necessarily like a mistake pitch. Though then the wild pitch puts him in trouble with the drawn in infield, and there it goes. I mean, I don't think anyone thought he was going to go hitless the whole season. But, you know, the nature of this game, tie game, and look, aggressive usage of your closer, right? I mean, in the old days, you don't use your closer tie game on the road, but, you know, he's their best guy, and they're going to put him out there against a really good team in a 60-game season where they want to win the game.
You know, there's offensively storylines galore there as well. Keston Hira hits another home run tonight. That's three games in a row. I said earlier, in the show, I thought when Hira was coming up, he did 20 to 25. Man, you watch him last year after he gets called up. You watch him now. This dude might hit 30 home runs a year for this Brewers team.
Yeah, Sophia Minard had the stat second fastest to 30 career homers in Brewers history behind Ryan Braun. So,
wow.
You know, and it's a lot of opposite field power, and it looks like it's going to come in bunches. He's got to cut down the swing and miss in his game. There's no doubt about that. And it's swing and miss in the zone. I wrote about him last night, and it was Will Salmon from The Athletic pointed out the great stat that Keston Hira has the highest swing and miss rate in the zone in Major League Baseball. So, you know, he's too good a hitter, I think, for that to become like an annual thing. He's a really good offensive player. They need to figure out long-term is either second baseman. This year they're going to maybe try him a little bit at first base just out
Horrible.
Of need. Well, they just need to figure out for long term. I don't know that that's going to be the long term. Maybe it's left field eventually for him. But he's worked really hard at second base to try to get better. But the metrics still say it's way below average there. But the bat is what is. I mean, that's what's going to keep him here. That's what's going to make him potentially a special player. And when you see a stretch like he's in right now, where it's all this opposite field line drive power. It looks like it, you know, there's potential there for it to be really good.
I just keep using the same comparison to being a Brewers fan, and that is I watched Ricky Weeks suck defensively at second base forever, and they left him there. They never moved him to the outfield, and his bat, I don't think, is nowhere close to what Keston Hira's bat is going to be.
At the end, they
at the end of his career, at the very
famously,
end.
Famously, he's a second baseman. Look, I wouldn't put Keston Hira in the same category because for Ricky, it sometimes was like it looked like maybe he was playing second base with a frying pan. He's one of my favorite players ever, one of the toughest players ever, but he did not have the best glove ever. Keston Hira's got a good glove. It's the arm that
That's
gives
the
him
throw.
Trouble.
Yeah.
It's a throwing.
Yeah, no question.
And it's a decently strong throwing arm. It's just the accuracy. So it's all footwork, and that's why him and Bob Misick worked all spring like crazy on that.
Yeah, getting out there like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever, 7:30 in the morning, and working out, right?
Yeah, and they just, you know, he was really committed to it, and they were really committed to keeping him there, because if he can stick at second base and be capable there, you're talking about a plus player. At first base, it's maybe a little different in terms of what the production is that you want to get in that position. Although that is, as we have learned, pretty much since Prince Fielder departed, a theoretical exercise. I don't think the Brewers have done a great job of getting offense at first base. Eric Thames was a good player. I shouldn't disparage Thames.
No, but you're right. Don't backtrack.
Just to find somebody who can be there and just be the guy. They've
correct.
Not found that.
We talked about that earlier in the show tonight, too, going back to our conversation on the big show. The other guy that we got to talk about here is Vogelbach, because, look, they get rid of Justin Smoak, which, again, I wasn't a fan of that move to begin with to bring him in. So now you get Vogelbach, and I said yesterday on the big show that it's worth it. Look, dude's coming off an all-star season, didn't exactly have the highest batting average, but at least he's got some power. That plays in Miller Park. He's only going to be a DH for the most part. I don't think they even want to see him at first base very much.
No.
But through a couple of games, he's hitting the ball well.
It is the all-time, like, trying to catch lightning in a bottle move.
Yep.
There's zero risk. He can be non-tendered at the end of the year. There's no commitment. If they catch lightning in a bottle and he turns out to hit a bunch of homers, and we'll see what happens with the DH going into next season.
I think it stays.
Well, I probably do too, but I think that's a big factor
no
in
doubt.
What happens with him for the long term.
Sure.
But if you catch lightning in a bottle, you've got him for 3 years, and you've got a power hitter. That you can throw in your back pocket. So I don't know. We'll see. It's good that he gets a couple of hits to start. I mean, he's got 3 hits in 2 games as a Brewer. He had 5 hits with the Mariners and Blue Jays to start the season. So he's on a better pace. And look, I'm a believer in, like, for stuff like that to happen early is a big deal. A guy needs to get a little bit of traction. And, you know, he talked about being still confident in his ability and to just pay off a couple ground ball singles and then a big hit tonight. If Brandon Woodruff, you know, to me, the story of, look, the offense was bad again tonight. Well, bad. The offense didn't come through tonight. I mean, they had lots of traffic against a really good Indians pitching staff. They're putting tons of pressure on a really good Indians staff.
Correct.
But tonight they just didn't cash in. The story for me and the one I'm writing is Brandon Woodruff.
That was my next topic. He's had 9 starts now. He's gotten through 6 3 times out of 9 starts, and this is your ace, your leader in this staff. And Tim Allen loves him some Brandon Woodruff, and I like Brandon Woodruff a lot too, and I think he can be that guy eventually, but he's got to be able to pitch deeper into games for this team right now.
Yeah, and he's getting stuck. He's hitting a roadblock in the 5th inning for some reason. And, you know, I in the story tonight, I'm thinking back in my memory bank, Wrigley Field, no hitter into the 5th. All of a sudden, boom, 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 he's out of the game, and Freddie Peralta came in and really saved it, and they won that game. Next start in Minnesota, 5th inning, you know, runs into trouble, and he's out of the game with 1 out in the 6th. So he is hitting for some reason a block in the middle of these games. He is really upset about it. He carries himself like an ace. He talks like an ace. He believes in his ability to pitch 7-8 innings every time he takes the mound, and he's got some really special numbers to back that up. I mean, he is not pitching well. He's pitching poorly, and he comes into today's game with like a 3.6 ERA. So the standard is very high for him, but to me, one of the big stories so far of the season is that they are 4-5 now in games Brandon Woodruff starts. Last year, they were 18-4. They won behind him. He found a way to win games. So that's something. And he said tonight he's got 3 weeks to kind of figure out what's happening in the middle of games. And he's finding these positives because he was ticked off his last start before he went home for the baby, where he gave up runs against the Pirates. And he said he just couldn't quite believe that he had given up 4 runs in 5 innings. And today he said, you know, not getting through 5 innings is a disgrace. So his frustration meter is on 10 right now, and he's very determined to make something of these remaining weeks.
We're going
to
hear from Brandon Woodruff coming up in the next segment after we're done talking with you. Talk with Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com.
It was good. I think it's enjoyable because he really was, I think, reflective, and he was, there was accountability for sure. Like, he feels like this game was on him.
Talking with Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com here on the Bayview Shannon Blind postgame show. I've only got one more for you. Williams and Hader probably pitching the best as far as everybody on this staff. After that, who would be your next couple of pitchers that, you know, when they get the ball, you feel pretty confident in?
Oh, God. I mean, Corbin Burnes is throwing the ball incredible. And when you stand back and kind of look at the numbers, there is so much to love about what he's doing. Now, his next step is to get out deeper into games. And last night, he pitches in the seventh inning for the first time as a starter.
Which is big.
And it is. And, you know, what's going to get him is he strikes out so many guys that, and Woodruff can be the same way, where that can be detrimental in terms of pitch count, especially in an era where pitch counts are gospel, and especially this season where you have extra guys, so your bullpen is, everybody has pretty fresh bullpens on a rather, on a nightly basis almost. So there's incentive to go make a move earlier in games. There have been plenty of games where, even Josh Lindblom's numbers aren't good. He had more pitches to give, or Anderson, or Wood, you know. So I think Burnes is on the precipice of being really special because, you know, there's this site, I'm biased, MLB.com. Baseball Savant is so fun to just go play around on, and you can pull up a guy's page. And the thing I love about it is it gives you context. It tells you, like, Brandon Woodruff's cutter, which is the key pitch for him this year. That's why he's better. It is, you know, like 101% better movement than the average cutter in baseball. It gives you context for what you're seeing, and not just, you know, the numbers sometimes they don't mean anything. And the aim with this site is to kind of provide, what does this actually mean? And the Brewers have a couple of guys that are pretty fun to go, you know, play around on and just see what they're doing. Obviously, Devin Williams is number one. It's just insane.
Pinching Ninja Twitter account that I'm sure you follow.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else follows, tweeted out, you know, Devin Williams, best changeup on the planet right now. Yeah. And then they put out a video of his changeups from tonight. So
yeah, and he's right around, I don't know how many he threw tonight, but going in, he was just a tick over 50%. He's throwing his changeup more than his fastball, which I was looking at Trevor Hoffman tonight. Trevor Hoffman threw in his highest season, it was like 33.9%. changeups. It felt like he threw a changeup every time because it was Bugs Bunny. Williams is actually throwing the thing more than half the time, and it is just an absolutely devastating pitch. It's really fun to watch, and it's, you know, the look, you've killed the Brewers. Everyone's killed the Brewers for not being able to develop pitching. Well, here's a guy they developed. They got through Tommy John surgery, and he's come into his own as a pitcher and really kind of as a man in the clubhouse in a season where his perspective has been really valuable to everybody.
I said it earlier, last couple of weeks, that the highlight of this season for me has been the development of all this young pitching. Like, I can't remember any time where they've had these many guys come through their farm system. Now, I know Hauser they got in a trade, but he's been here long enough in their farm system. I'm just going to give them credit. So Hauser and Burnes and Woodruff and Peralta, again, another guy in a trade, but was here through their farm system. Peralta, Devin Williams. I mean, these guys all kind of came up through their farm system. I mean, multiple guys from their farm system. What, Gallardo and Parra was the last time they had multiple guys on the roster at the same time that they developed, on the roster? This is a big, big deal for this Brewers team if they can keep them together and continue to develop and, like we've talked about, find somebody that can play at first and third and hit. This team could be set up for a while, but the next step is making sure they stay healthy and continue to develop and then find a couple more hitters for this lineup.
Yeah, and Brent Suter, too. Don't forget him, a late-round pick. Homegrown guy and pretty valuable. Look, I mean, their pitching has been pretty solid. We're watching the development of these young guys, and there's ups and downs. Absolutely. Adrian Hauser is probably the biggest roller coaster guy right now. We'll do some stuff for a sequence of hitters, and he'll be like, oh, my God, like, this guy's really good.
Yep.
And then it gets away from him. Ground ball guy, a couple ground balls get through, and it can get ugly quickly. So you're watching the development of these players. But, I mean, they got to back them with some hits. And that's been the encouraging thing lately is they're scoring some runs. I mean, tonight they were lacking, like, they had lots of opportunities to blow the game open. But, I mean, still, they're fighting into these games, and they're forcing a bottom of the ninth. They'd won 5 of 7 before that, and they're averaging better than 7 runs a game in the victories. So they're showing something as an offense, and it's Hira getting going. It's here and there. It's Yelich. It's Orlando Arcia being pretty good. It's Urias continuing to perform. They're getting a little bit, but, I mean, still, it is – The offense still probably is the big thing you have circled, and are they going to hit enough in order to finally get over this 500 hump?
I said this earlier. If, and I know this probably is not going to happen, so let me just say that first. But if they were to play Braun at first base and let Garcia play out there as well, now all of a sudden this lineup, I think, becomes even more dangerous. If Garcia can be in that lineup with Hira, with Yelich, with Braun, with Vogelbach, now you can argue you're, you know, possibly 5-6 deep, finally, of guys that can actually hit at this point. And if you throw Arcia in there, if he can continue doing what he's doing, you might be able to get some offense going, because that's really the one thing that they're kind of just lacking right now. If they can catch fire offensively for a week or so, they could pretty much guarantee themselves a playoff spot at this point.
Yeah, for some reason, they don't want to play Braun at first base. And I don't know if that's the best, you know, it's so hard to understand some of this stuff when you just can't be in the clubhouse.
Correct.
You know, we can ask Craig Counsell about it on a Zoom, but it's just not the same. It's harder to understand the thinking on some moves like that. But my understanding, based on what we talked about with Counsell after the smoke move, is they do not see Ryan Braun playing a lot of first. It sounds like it's more likely to be Jerko,
yep,
Jace Peterson tonight, Matthias, who's been a good little player for him so far.
He's been a great utility player.
And then, you know, maybe we'll see Keston Hira. He's been working apparently before the games the last couple of days. So
I love,
we'll see if they give that a shot.
I love talking to Adam McKelvey. I do. I love our conversations. And at the end here, the last one, I said that before, but we know you are a candy du jour, right? You love your candy, right? And all that.
Yes. But not at 10:41 at night though.
Oh, well, not me. But I want to get your thoughts on this, because I bought the other day, I forgot where I even bought it from, but it was a container of chocolate-covered cashews. That's what I thought they were. And then I bit into it, and it was chocolate, caramel, and cashews all together. And I was like, huh. I said, you know, I've never really asked Adam McKelvey about that. Are you into any of that stuff, like chocolate-covered raisins, chocolate-covered peanuts? Are you into any of that stuff?
No, I could kind of do without chocolate.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I mean,
that.
It's not
I
bad.
Yeah,
it's
no, you're right. Yeah,
it's like
Brandon
Woodruff. He's not bad. He's just not as good as he can be right now.
Yes.
Chocolate's not bad. It's just not as good as starters.
I forgot you didn't like chocolate. That's totally my fault. I apologize. Adam, thanks so much for coming on, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
There he is. Good night. Adam McKelvey joining us here on the Bayview Shed and Blinds post-game show. On the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.